Rumor has it, we're supposed to have tri-tip today. Is this true? Does anybody know this for a fact? This was the rumor. And if it is, I'm really excited. And there's probably really good hot dogs out there too. Yes. So, yeah, exciting day. I look forward to this every year. Get to dress way down for church. So, good stuff today. It is a day of celebration, and I do want to let you guys know about our good friend, DJ Bransom. Those of you who don't know, went to be with the Lord last week, and so it's sad for us, but he's doing fantastic where he is. So thank you for praying, and just keep praying for Lynn and the family, and Lynn's doing good. She needs a little space for now, but she's doing good. And just keep praying for her and for the family. And so DJ's doing good. All right. So in recent weeks, we have been talking about kindness. And today is no different. It's the kindness of God, the kindness of Jesus. And I got to say, since this subject of kindness has been bandied about, I guess, I have been challenged on all fronts of kindness. What does it look like? And so we're going to tackle one today, and we're going to talk about kindness in compassion today. And I want to read to you a story of kindness, and it's about someone who is extremely kind. You may guess who this person is as I go along, but here we go. The year was 1910. In the town of Skopje, Macedonia, a child was born named Agnes to a devout Catholic couple. As the child grew, she regularly experienced her mother bringing in poor people from the surrounding neighborhood for supper. Agnes followed in her mother's footsteps and committed to Catholicism at the age of 12, became a nun at the age of 16, and moved to Ireland. 1 year later, she was sent to India to become a principal of a charity school. Soon, a widespread famine had caused incredible heartache, starvation, and loss of life throughout the Bengal province. In response, Agnes established an open-air school and a home for dying people. Through her work with these underprivileged groups, Agnes went on to found the Missionaries of Charity, a religious organization made up of former teachers and students from the charity school where she had previously worked. And in an article by Rosie Lesso, I'm going to read from that, it says, throughout the 1960s, the charity set up charity houses dedicated to different groups in need all across India, including orphanages, hospices, and lepers' houses. During the 70s, she was able to take her humanitarian work further afield, spreading across the world. Agnes's tireless work against the devastating effects of poverty and illness earned her worldwide recognition, and she even became dubbed the living saint by much of the human population. In 1979, she achieved one of the greatest symbols of recognition. She was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for her charity work that helped many thousands of people living lives of extreme poverty and destitution. Now, most of us know Agnes as Mother Teresa. Yes. She died in 1997 at the age of 87. Now, most missionaries don't become famous. They do their work. They go through hardship. They pray. They serve. They do whatever they can. But most of them don't become famous. And for whatever reasons God had, Mother Teresa did become famous. And but of course, you know, this wasn't her focus. And there's a couple of quotes that reveal her heart, and these will be up on the screen. I love this. Speak tenderly to them. Let there be kindness in your face, in your eyes, in your smile, in the warmth of your greeting. Don't only give your care, but give your heart as well. And then, like Jesus, we belong to the world, not living for ourselves, but for others. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, most people know the name of Mother Teresa. Most of you were guessing who this was. But it's not because that's what she set out to do, was to become famous. She became famous because of her incredibly large heart. And she loved and she cared for the sick and the dying in India. And her kindness is certainly legendary. And she didn't feed the hungry and care for the sick to prove a point. She did it out of compassion and kindness. Now, Jesus is arguably, we don't really think of him this way, but arguably the most famous person to ever live. He did many miracles that would make someone famous. But as we're going to see, and this is what a main thing I want you to think about today. They did prove a point. They did many things, but he did them out of who he was, out of his kindness, out of his compassion, and also because he had supernatural power. All right, how many of you have seen the movie Back to the Future? Raise your hand. Oh, yes, most of you have. I should have said how many of you haven't seen it. Yeah, I love that movie. A couple cuss words in it, just giving you a little heads up in case any of you decide to watch it. But it's a great story. There's a moment when Doc Brown, kind of the wild scientist, the mad scientist, he shows Marty McFly his time machine, and it's made out of a DeLorean car. Quite amazing, and he gives examples to Marty of past events. He's showing him his car, and he says, where would you like to go? What would you like to see? You know, maybe you'd like to see the Declaration of Independence. And then he says, maybe you'd like to, the birth of Christ. And, you know, think about that for yourself. If you could go back into time, what's something that you would like to see? You would like to be there. You know, maybe you want to see, you know, Moses and God parting the Red Sea. You know, that would be a great moment in time. You know, there's a lot of different things that you could be about. You know, maybe Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead would be a good one. That'd be a good one. For me, one of the main ones that I have always thought about is the feeding of the 5,000. I would have loved to have been there. And, you know, just imagine you are taking that DeLorean. You go through time. Bam, there you are. There's that car. You're there. Thousands of people. And you get out. And then we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, what you're going to see. All right. So we're going to enter this story where Jesus is trying to get away. And this is important for what I'm talking about today. He's trying to get away for some rest, trying to get away to be alone, because he has just heard that John the Baptist was beheaded. And so, you know, John the Baptist was a relative of Jesus. And I don't know. Jesus was the Son of God. He was a man like us, but he was also God. So I don't know what was going through his mind. He experienced the same sense of loss, I'm sure. All kinds of things could have been going through his mind, but he needed to get away. And so he was trying to get away by himself and be with the Father. But as we're going to see, it had become almost impossible for Jesus to move around without a crowd. And when they found out he was heading across the lake, I mean, they booked it over there. Big crowd. Big crowd. So Matthew 14:13 says this. Now when Jesus heard this is when he heard about John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. All right. They wouldn't let him be by himself. But we know that Jesus obviously was extremely, extremely well known by this time. People are looking for the Messiah. They think this is the Messiah. So everybody in the countryside is going to run out and see what he's going to do. Some of them have seen his miracles. They want to see miracles. They want to see the Messiah. So everybody's hoofing it out there. So Matthew 14:14 says, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So easy to pass this by. Now, as Pastor Ben was saying, this has been a hard week. It's been a hard week for a lot of us who have known our friend DJ. And, there's been times of real grieving. And so I have to say, I mean, I'm just going to give Wednesday night, I'm just going to be really straight up and honest with you guys. And Wednesday night after the service, I was just overcome. There was a few of you that unfortunately had to be a little bit a part of that. But it's just the way it was. And I got to tell you, I would not have wanted to walk out and see thousands of people and they're all expecting me to do something, to say something unbelievable. Oh, that would be the last thing I would have wanted to do. But see, that's where Jesus was. That's where he was. And being the Son of God, he not only gave them his attention, the Bible says that he had compassion on them. So Jesus didn't just say, you know, I got too much going on. I'm hurting myself. I'm withdrawing. I can't do this. I'm going to turn around on this boat and go the other way. I can't do this. He didn't do that. He healed the sick. He had compassion on the people. Now, verse 15, it says, now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. So Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And I believe that he did know that this was going to be a tremendous miracle. But remember, the Bible, the narrative says that he had compassion on the people, and that's why he healed them. He didn't do it so that, thousands of years from now they're going to be talking about this. He did it because he was compassionate, that he cared about them. His kindness was overflowing, and it was pouring out. And he'd been pouring out all day, it sounds like. And so this is the reason that he wanted to feed them, because it was out of who he was, okay? Out of who he was. So, and we're going to look at what this means and what the feeding of the 5,000 means. But at that moment, Jesus is compassionate. Jesus is caring. Jesus is kind. That's who he is. And that's why he's doing these things. He cared about them. All right. Matthew 14:19 through 21 says, then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So imagine just the countryside filled with people. And of course, as many of you know, it was 5,000 men, counting men and not counting women and children. So there were a lot more than that. That's a lot of people. that Jesus is speaking to. And so we've just taken Doc's time machine and we've stepped out. And now we step out and we see Jesus telling everybody to sit down. I've often wondered about that. But one thing is, when everybody sat down, they could all see him. He gives thanks for the bread. He gives thanks for the fish. Everybody's watching him do it. And I'm sure they're wondering, what was he doing? What's going on? And you know, at some point, this is what is always, this is the moment for me. At some point, there had to be like this rumbling, this murmuring starting near where they were. So the disciples are handing out this food. And can you imagine them? I mean, I'm sure they're just freaking out. Like, no matter how much I grab, it's still there. And I'm sure they're saying something about it. I would. I'd be like, hey, I only started with a loaf of bread. Now I've got five. And the more they do it, and then the sound keeps getting stronger and stronger, and it goes through the crowd and people in the back. What's going on? What's happening? What's happening? And then I'm sure by the time half of the people are getting fed, that place is going wild with amazement. How is this happening? Of course, that's what they came out to see. Were miracles and the Messiah. Amazing. And of course, when everyone was fed, the narrative says that there was far more left over than they started with. 12 baskets full. The kindness and compassion and the power of Jesus. It's overwhelming. It's miraculous. It causes extreme gratitude, like we sang about. And it causes us to react with humility and amazement. And again, in this story, he shows his kindness through compassion. And the miracle of healing and provision takes place. Now, we learn a lot about Jesus. We learn a lot about God through this. And they're going to put a few of these things on the screen. We learn in this that God is kind. We learn that God is compassionate. We learn that he is our provider, more than enough. God will go the extra mile to take care of us and to care for us. He is supernatural and he's powerful, and it's always for good. It's always for good. And he empowers us to do his work, thinking of the disciples, where Jesus didn't hand it all out, the disciples handed it out. He empowers us to do his work. So these are some great things that we learn from this. And another amazing thing is that God uses us to be kind when it's easy and when it's hard. And I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. And the effects can be far-reaching. When God uses you to have an act of kindness, the effects are far more than what you just see right in front of you. I remember a man named Pastor Harry Downey and his wife Nan. They were great missionaries to Africa. They wrote a book. And at the time that I was saved, as I've said before, when I got saved, I was radically saved from, drugs, alcohol, just a wild rock and roll life. And so everything was just flipped on its head for me. Everything was brand new. Everything was exciting. So I was on the front row at First Assembly in Albany early, with my Bible. And I couldn't wait for church. I was always there every Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whenever the doors were open. That was me. I was excited, still excited about Jesus to this day. But that's where I was. And Pastor Downey at that time was older, and he kind of shuffled around, you know. I'm not sure what disease this is, but, you know, it's kind of like he would shuffle. I mean, this is how big of steps he would take. And he would walk by me like this, and it'd take him a long time. Every Sunday morning, he and his wife, you know, and then he would look at me and just say, good morning. And I'd say, good morning, Pastor. And so he'd go, and they'd go to where they were going to sit. Well, one day, he comes walking by me like this. So he's walking by, taking his time. I've got my Bible. I'm all by myself. And he stops like this, and he turns, and he says, young man. I said, yes, sir. And he said, I see you reading your Bible here every week. And he said, if you continue to let the Word of God fill your life and act on it, he said, God's going to do tremendous things through you. That's all he said. I remember that to this day. And there have been many times, I mean, that's all he said. And he just, and I didn't know what to say. I don't know what I said. I might have just said thank you. But then he just turned and shuffled on, you know. Well, that might have been an easy thing for him, an easy act of kindness. But for me, that stuck with me all my life. I can't tell you how many times since I've been in full-time ministry. I mean, there's just times, guys, where things are rough. You're working with people that are going through very difficult things, or people making bad choices, and you're trying to help them through it, or whatever it is. And sometimes, maybe it's a grieving family. Lots and lots of extremely difficult things that I've been a part of, and anybody that's been in ministry for a long time has the same kind of experiences. But there have been times when, you know, people upset, whatever it is, where I have considered quitting, you know, lots of times. Lots of times that has gone through my mind. You know, I think these people would be a lot better off if I just wasn't here. And I think they do a lot better. But I'll tell you something. I have remembered what Pastor Downey said in those times. I can't tell you how many times of him just stopping. And I knew his story. And I mean, he and his wife, they ministered to all of these tribes in Africa and people way off the grid. They had stories of ministering to cannibal tribes, very dangerous situations, all these things. And I knew that because I'd read the book. And so I knew he knew what he was talking about. And I have remembered that so many times, that God was going to use me. And I've just thought to myself, can't quit. Can't quit. You may be making the wrong decision. I don't know. But I can't quit. I got to keep going. So act of kindness for him has lasted all these years. All right, so how does the fact that Jesus is unlimited in his kindness, how does that affect you and me? Okay, I'm going to look at 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Remember I was talking about Mother Teresa and how hardly any missionaries are famous, but God decided to exalt her. That was his decision. And for his purposes, you know, but most people don't become famous like that. God will do that. But, and then it says, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. So how does that help you? Well, I'll tell you how it helps you. If you know this, if you know that Jesus is kind and you know that he cares for you, it means lots of things, but here's just a few. It means that we can go to him about anything in a safe place, so we know we're safe. So I don't care how bad you're screwing up. I don't care what bad situation you have. I don't care what someone has done to you. Any situation you can possibly think of, the safe place to go is Jesus, because you know that he cares about you and he's kind. He cares about you. He's holy, absolutely holy. But I'll tell you something. He wants you to talk to him about everything. About everything. Just like your best friend who you know that you feel like, oh, I can talk to this person about anything. Maybe it's your spouse, whatever it is. I know that's my case. But Jesus is like, I want you to tell me everything. Talk to me about it because he's safe. Now we can have the assurance of his attention and his care. He'll listen to what you have to say, okay, no matter where you're at, okay? And we can know that he wants the best for who we are praying for. That's another great thing. When you're praying for other people, you know that God cares about this situation because he cares about them. And the last one is we can know that he wants the best for us. No matter what it is, no matter where you are, no matter what decisions you've made, what path you're on, God wants the best for you. Now, if you're on a wrong path, he wants you to get back on the right path. Okay? He wants the very best for you. Now, Jesus oftentimes shows his kindness through compassion, and we can do the same. And I'm going to talk about something else here in just a moment as the worship team comes up. I'd like you guys to come on up now. I spoke to you about a small act of kindness that Pastor Downey did for me. And for him, like I said, not a hard thing, you know. He's got all this experience. He simply had to turn and say something very encouraging to me. Well, that's not a hard thing for him, probably. But just think of the effects of that. And I've seen lots of kind things done around this church. And several of you minister to the homeless at different times. My friend Scotty's usually got a story every week on Thursday morning prayer at 7 o'clock in the morning in the chapel, if you ever want to come. And he's usually got a story of him encountering some difficult individual. Acts of kindness. Well, remember this. Remember when Jesus got off that boat and Jesus had heard about his friend and his relative, John the Baptist. Now, I don't know. I'm not in Jesus' head. But I do know he had to have made a choice of, am I going to stay within myself or am I going to do what the Father wants me to do? So, and I imagine it was difficult. It would be extremely difficult for us in a situation like that. So did he withdraw? No. Was he rude? Did he tell him, look, I can't do this right now. You know, do you know what I'm going through? No, he didn't do that. He had compassion on them. So I'm going to ask you, do you ever go through times where you're hurting or emotionally spent or just plain tired? And if you're like me, there are times the last thing I want to do, and just being honest with you, it doesn't happen that often, but it happens. Last thing I want to do is go out and minister sometimes. Last thing I want to do is jump into a crowd. I've had to do it, but it's not my first choice. Not when I'm really tired. Not when I'm emotionally spent. Here's where the challenge is for all of us. What Jesus had to do is an extreme situation. He had to face thousands of people. And they were all looking for him. Now, we don't face that. We don't face anything like that. But are you ever tired or emotionally spent and you're just like, I can't do it. I can't talk to anybody. And then somebody talks to you and you say something rude. Or you just separate yourself and you're just going to go be by yourself and not talk to anybody. Hey, I get it. There's times you feel like that. I do. And there's times you do have to get alone. I know that, really. But the challenge is that we have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, see? And so the Holy Spirit can get us, enable us to do things that we normally cannot do on our own, okay? That's the difference between having the Holy Spirit living inside of you by asking Jesus into your life. And if you haven't done that, this is a real thing. This is a real thing. Happened to me. Happened to me. I asked Jesus into my life, and he came to live in my heart. And I didn't even know what that was about. I didn't know what that was like, but he did. And it made a difference in me. And I've had a long journey, but he continues to do that. But that's how you're able to do things you can't normally do. Now, and you think, well, how can I do this when it's so hard sometimes? It's as simple as this. Just ask God to help you. Just say, God, I want to be kind. I want to be someone who can minister to other people. I want to lift up my head and look around and see somebody else and not just worry about my own problems. And this is kind of something that might help you. If you're always finding yourself talking about yourself, that's probably not a good thing. Okay? Not that you don't share things about what you're going through. That's fine. But you need to think about the other person. Ask them how they're doing. How can you help them? You see somebody else in need. Somebody else in need. Maybe ask God, what can I do? What can I do? Maybe the Holy Spirit speaking to you, I'd like you to give $50 to this person. You may not know why. I've seen that happen a lot of times. It's happened to me. And I love that. God wants to use you in kindness for somebody else. And it might be for lots of people. Okay? And he can do all kinds of things. All kinds of things. And the last thing I'm going to say about that is that the effects of being obedient to what God asks you to do in kindness has far-reaching effects. It goes way beyond that current situation. Who knows? If the Holy Spirit is asking you to help somebody in some way, you don't know. Maybe they don't have a dime. Maybe they just went through something terrible. Maybe you need to pray for them and say, can I pray for you? And maybe that's just what they needed. But that's what the Holy Spirit does, see? That's what the Holy Spirit does. And then it's got far-reaching effects. People can think about those things. I could tell you all kinds of things that have happened to me that I've thought of over and over again through life. Okay? So many people get off the wrong track and they never get back. And the reason they never get back is because they don't ask God to lead them, to guide them. The last song we're going to do today is Lead On, Good Shepherd. It's all about God leading us and guiding us. So allow God to use you. Allow God to help you to be kind. We're going to be out in this fall barbecue. And for some of you, it's not so easy. For some of you, you're kind of introverted and you're like, this is making me nervous going out with all these people. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. Yeah. Go help somebody else who looks like they're nervous too. Because there's a lot of you that are like that. I know you. I know you. Okay. We're going to sing a song. And this song is called Forever Kind. I wrote it a few weeks ago. And I was waiting just for this moment to do it. And so we're going to do this song. And just kind of think about the lyric. And it's about how Jesus is so kind.